I'd like to let you know, though, that we are broadcasting. Yeah, today is the 53rd consecutive St. Patrick's Day, but we broadcast, friends, every week live on Saturdays from New York and then, you know, anywhere and everywhere in the world on irishradio.com. And if you miss any of our interviews with our guests, it's easy. You haven't lost them forever. Just go to our website, irishradio.com. You can click on the archives button, and there you can go back and listen to any of our interviews. And, of course, you can follow us anytime on Facebook at Facebook Irish Radio, or Facebook Adrian Flannelly. Okay, and we're always, well, I shouldn't say we, Áine Sheridan, who runs everything around here and has, is always posting, you know, bits and pieces of news, you know, any news that's happening or on either side of the Atlantic, and news in our community in the United States and Ireland, and our Facebook. So again, that's it. We're also on Twitter. Okay. Best way, though, I say myself. Now, granted, you know, I'm not technically inclined when it comes to to any of these gadgets of the day. Although I have to tell you that I'm quite proud of myself. I can send an email. Yeah, I can send loads of emails, and then sometimes I forget to, you know, hit the enter button, or indeed some of the finest emails I have, you know, I have pressed that delete button. I didn't even know it was there. You know how it is yourself. Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the great entertainers, immigrant, indeed, from Waterford, his name is Brendan Boyer, and the late Brendan Boyer. But he came to, you know, we all, most of us New Yorkers, you'll have to forgive us, but we think that immigrants from Ireland, you know, all came here, and then a few of them went astray and went to other places across the United States. Not true. Great, you know, tremendous artists, including band leader Brendan Boyer, wound up in Las Vegas, came out here for, well, he thought a week, maybe two, and he and his band, the Brendan Boyer band, they became so popular and such a hit in, you know, in Las Vegas, where, you know, the likes of Frank Sinatra, who instantly took a shine to them, and you know, some great artists actually also wound up in Las Vegas. But Brendan Boyer, with his family, brought his family up in Vegas, and he, well, not just with Irish music alone, but he did tremendous, really tremendous work. And when getting out to Las Vegas, he became one of the earliest rock stars, you know, to come from Ireland. Of course, really made his name on Irish music. But in the very beginning, I want to take you back to the arrival of Brendan Boyer in Las Vegas. The house, yeah, talking about tribute to Elvis Presley.
In a Mississippi gospel hall, a young boy joined in song. Just 12 years old, with his new guitar, he strummed as all sang along. Then, as a truck driver in Memphis, at the start of rock and roll, with a record about a hound dog, all teenage heart he stole.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, just rock and roll with her. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, just rock and roll with her. You ain't a man of my friend, and you ain't no friend of mine. When I said you was a high class, well, that was just a lie. When I said you was a high class, well, that was just a lie. You ain't a man of my friend, and you ain't no friend of mine.
With his good looks and his sideburns, sleepy eyes and slick black hair, he swiveled his step moving as he rocked without a care. Soon he became a legend, million sellers by the score, spooning fans and Presley mania, kept Elvis to the fore.
Warm to a party in the county jail, prison man was there when they began to wail. The band was jumping and the jump began to swing.
When his army days were ended, again, Elvis hit the scene. With slow romantic ballads, on TV and on screen, the public all acclaimed him now and joined the Presley fold. An idol of all ages, loved by young and old.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day? When I kiss you, I'm calling you.
Now, Elvis, you have left us, the king of rock and roll. No screaming fans, no photographs. What sad you are all alone. Thank you for the treasured memories you've left with us in song. You are gone, but never forgotten, for your memory will live on.
And I
and a tribute there to Elvis Presley, Brendan Boyer. We're heading down to Washington. And, friends, on this St. Patrick's Day, we head to Washington and to Ted Smith, who has served as an Irish diplomat from 1972 to 1988, in a career highlighted by his work on the Northern Ireland peace process. He is president of the advisory board of Glucksman Ireland House at NYU and chair of the advisory board of the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin, a founding member of Irish Americans for 2020 committee. And Ted, you're very welcome as we greet you in Washington, D.C.
Thank you very much. It's a fantastic week here in Washington. So much going on. Great buzz for Ireland. I'm very proud of our country and all our representatives and the Irish Americans who are here, too.
Ted, what are you hearing with respect to, well, you've already told us the positive atmosphere. We know that there are a lot of visitors, guests at political and other levels attending Washington, which is, if you can't be in New York, I suppose Washington is the second best place to be, and that's only because we're broadcasting and have this affinity for New York and the big St. Patrick's Day. What issues, topics, meetings of significance or have been taking place all week?
Well, actually, speaking of New York, the first event was in New York on Monday with the National Committee of American Foreign Policy, remembering the breakthrough when Bill Flynn and that committee secured the visa from President Clinton for Gerry Adams. And we were really celebrating the role that Mutual of America has played since that time, including with Tom Moran and the current company, probably done more than nearly any other U.S. company for peace in Ireland, Mutual of America. So hats off to them. We had a great session there with Hillary Clinton, the Irish Foreign Minister, and numerous other good folks. And then in Washington last night, we had the annual Ireland Fund Gala dinner, which was a superb evening. Taoiseach spoke eloquently about building a new future for all of Ireland. The leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, and the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, both got awards. It was a very bipartisan night, as one of the unique features about Ireland and peace in Ireland is it's one of the few issues in which Republicans and Democrats consistently come together, going back a long way. And the Congressional Friends of Ireland is chaired by Richie Neal and Mike Kelly, a Democrat and a Republican. And that, you know, is a wonderful thing to see, actually. So, you know, both there was a little bit of ribbing backwards and forwards from Senator Schumer and Speaker McCarthy. But Speaker McCarthy, showing some wit, got the last dig in. He said, the American Ireland Fund has given two awards tonight, one to a politician and one to an Irishman. So he was funny on that. But Senator Schumer spoke eloquently about growing up in the 33rd county of Ireland, of course, Brooklyn, and how it was the Irish vote that got him elected in the first place. And he was always grateful, is always grateful for that.
And he is indeed, Ted Smith. He is and has been a huge supporter of the Irish, indeed at many levels, obviously on the immigration level and on the peace level for Ireland, Northern Ireland in particular. He's been a very close and loyal friend to the Irish, and he deserves to be acknowledged. He has always been there for us.
He has, and he's truly a great, great friend, and we're so lucky to have him where he is. He's very powerful. He reiterated again last night to great applause that there would never be a U.S.-UK trade agreement as long as there was a border threatened on the island of Ireland. And he is, of course, and the former Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been very firm in that. And now, Speaker McCarthy has been too, the new Republican Speaker. We kicked off with the Northern Ireland Bureau breakfast at the Willard Hotel, the old the site of the famous lobby term. And Jane Brady spoke at that, the woman head of the Northern Ireland Civil Service. Well, we got introduced to Joe Kennedy last night and this morning, and he is putting in a great performance. I think he's creating a very positive impression with everyone for his energy and his eloquence. Indeed, Kevin McCarthy spoke about Joe Kennedy being one of his great friends, that when they were both young members in Congress, their families became very close. And it's good to see Joe Kennedy carrying on the Kennedy friendship tradition for Ireland. His uncle, of course, Ted Kennedy, and President Kennedy before that. And his job, as he said, is to drum up economic investment in Northern Ireland. And he said that when President Clinton appointed him, he said, you know, I want you to make a bet on the future of Northern Ireland in terms of increasing the prosperity and giving everybody a stakehold in the society there, so everybody feels equal. And that was resonated very well. And I've just come from Georgetown University, which hosted a very powerful conference on women at the helm, the unfinished business of Northern Ireland's Good Friday Agreement. And Mylène Verveer, Ambassador Mylène Verveer, hosted that. She is an extraordinary woman. She's head of the Georgetown Institute for Women, Peace and Security, and another great friend of Ireland. And, of course, Monica McWilliams, who was one of the architects of the Good Friday Agreement, was there. Mary Robinson, the former president of Ireland. And we had Michelle O'Neill, spoke very eloquently as well, and a number of others, particularly younger women from the front lines in Northern Ireland, like Emma D'Souza and Emma Pengelly, were there. So it was a very uplifting event and packed, of course. Hundreds of students themselves wanted to come from Georgetown to see it. And, you know, it was a really, really wonderful event. Later today, our ad hoc committee to protect the Good Friday Agreement, which is chaired by Bruce Morrison and Jim Walsh, two former congressmen, will be meeting with Sir Geoffrey Donaldson and the DUP and also with the SDLP. And then we'll continue our meetings with Sinn Féin and other parties tomorrow. And the Irish ambassador, Geraldine Byrne Nason, is hosting a big party at the Irish embassy. And then the White House reception where President Biden will be throwing the door open to Irish and Irish Americans. You know, Adrian, reminds me a bit of the 1990s and Bill Clinton. There's a buzz around the town where, you know, all the Northern Ireland parties are here, Irish government parties are here, the leaders of Irish America. There's just a feeling of coming together, which I haven't sensed that energy since the Good Friday Agreement, really. And I think given the context of the Windsor Agreement, Framework, as it's called, between Europe and the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, I think this is really an opportunity to get power sharing back again and create a better future for the people of Northern Ireland.
Ted, I know how busy you are there, but can you at least give us a little insight into a survey that was indeed commissioned by Glucksman Ireland House with yourself as the chairman of the advisory board, president of the advisory board, and again Franz Chair of the advisory board of Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. Now, you had, and of course Brian O'Dwyer, chair for the Council of American-Irish Relations, recently commissioned a very significant polling, calling it a research nationally rated polling firm, and the commission, your commissioning of that was to conduct a nationwide survey of Irish America and what makes Irish America tick and how we're doing as a cultural identity.
I think it's quite an extraordinary survey. We've had earlier surveys, very good surveys by Neil O'Dowd and Irish Central and the Amoric firm. And then going back further to the 1970s, Father Andrew Greeley and the National Opinion Research Center. But there have been very few nationwide surveys, if any. And this one really was encouraging, because you heard a lot of talk about two things. One, that the Irish are aging out in America and dying out as an identity. And secondly, that the Irish are extremely right-wing. This is a sort of a common trope in Ireland. And this contradicts that. This survey now shows that despite being many generations removed from Ireland, Irish Americans continue to be attracted to their Irish heritage. Why? Because of their personal and Irish history and culture and the positive perceptions of Irish identity in the U.S. They're attracted because of music, and they want to travel in Ireland, which is great for Irish tourism, and they want to work and study in Ireland. This is, I think, fantastic news, and it really is a representative sample. And so the takeaway from it really is people who go back several generations, third, fourth, fifth generation, still have a meaningful connection with their Irish heritage, primarily through their family, their friends, Irish history, and culture, like music and theater and sports. And this is it, Adrian, appealing to that connection that Irish Americans feel, as well as emphasizing Irish studies, U.S.-Ireland trade, tourism. This really is an effective way to engage and mobilize Irish America for the future. So we may not be, you know, a tight voting bloc anymore in the Democratic Party, but we are a group of millions of Irish Americans who care deeply about Ireland. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it is to your advantage to care about that and to make sure you serve that. And that's one of the reasons why there's such support in Congress for peace in Ireland and for doing what they're doing right now.
My guest friends, Ted Smith, reporting from Washington. And again, Ted, thank you for taking the time. We will definitely want to have you on, you know, in the future, not too distant future, to break down the survey, again, commissioned by Glaxman Ireland House and the Council for American-Irish Relations. Thank you, and thank you for taking the time. I know how busy you are. And again, very happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you, Adrian. Keep up the great work. We're all looking forward to your program. And you certainly keep us connected and united. Very grateful to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. Okay, let's go back some 60 years. A concert with the Clancy Brothers in Carnegie Hall. You should recognize some of these songs, and you're listening to The Family Show, live in New York.
The heroes of Britain, the deeds they've done, the battles won, and how they made their name. For the boys that made their history, for the honest white and green, for the boys who died in Dublin town in 1916. The
Clancy Brothers from Carnegie Hall. And friends, I do want to remind you that this program is sponsored by Tourism Ireland. Tourism Ireland, Ireland.com. And what better day, what better month, Irish Heritage Month in the United States, as declared by President Joe Biden. This is a great time to be thinking of going to Ireland, and many people obviously have made their travel plans, you know, to for Ireland for their vacation. But if you're still waffling, why don't you get on to Tourism Ireland's website? Fantastic. Gives you all the ideas, maybe a bunch that you haven't even thought of yet. That's Ireland.com. I'm sure you heard about the Ballymaquilty Band.
I have no doubt you've heard about the Ballymaquilty Band. A band of great renown, sure it's known from town to town. The people come to hear the drum, a Gilligan bang so grand, and shout whenever they hear the music so queer. Are the boys and the girls all follow the band for miles and miles. You think they'd only walk a yard or two. To see them all dressed up in the very finest styles, you know they're off for a rare old hullabaloo. Oh, Murphy plays the clarinet, Mickey Gilligan bangs the drum, and upon me word he would make you laugh with his bumpity bumpity bum. O'Brien plays the trombone, and he thinks it's grand when Cassidy plays the cymbals with the Ballymaquilty Band. Now they had a fine rehearsal in the Ballymaquilty Hall. McGee played best of all, sure he didn't play at all. And when they all forgot the tune, McGilligan banged the drum, which made poor Cassidy's ear feel awfully queer. Are the boys and the girls all followed the band for miles and miles. You think they'd only walked a yard or two. To see them all dressed up in the very finest styles, you know they're out for a rare old hullabaloo. Oh, Murphy plays the clarinet and McGilligan bangs the drum. And upon me word he would make you laugh with his bumpity bumpity bum. O'Brien plays the trombone, and O'Shaughnessy she thinks it's grand when Cassidy plays the cymbals with the Barry McQuilty band. O'Brien's trombone and McGilligan's drum, and Murphy's clarinet and the bumpity bum of the Barry McQuilty band.
And, friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, The Flannelly Show, live from New York, the 53rd. But I wanted to tell you, friends, that there is one very good friend of ours, myself, and, indeed, Anya Sheridan, who... has produced, she's commonly known, well, at least to John Deary and myself, as management. We can't do anything unless, you know, we have to run the idea by management. My dear friend, John Deary, we hope you're on the line with us.
Well, top of the morning or afternoon, Adrian, and I would only add one word to the management of Ms. Sheridan, and that is strict management. happy day to you, Adrian. And when you talk about 53 years that you have been doing the broadcasting, and I have had the great pleasure of sitting next to you for almost 25 of those, and what I have learned from you, both in terms of things Irish and just the ability to communicate with people and so forth, I treasure incredibly. So it's wonderful to be with you on this special day.
Well, you haven't missed one yet, and we wouldn't allow that to happen anyway. But, John, I would like to actually talk about your own career and indeed how I got to meet you in the first place. For 20 years as a state legislator in New York, I would say singularly you were very vocal, again, as a legislator in bringing up some very, significant topics at the time when we didn't hear that much from Albany. But you were talking about initially of adopting what became MacBride principles, and in fact, it was at your invitation that the great Sean MacBride, it was yourself and then Paul O'Dwyer who got Sean MacBride to actually come to the chambers in Albany and make a case for MacBride principles and how they could be used here in the United States.
Well, it's a day that I remember very well. You mentioned about being in Albany, as I was for 20 years, but very few days would top that. It was the first and only time, as I understand, that a Nobel Peace Prize winner, such as Dr. MacBride, addressed the state legislature. And we introduced the bill on that day, and as you mentioned, Paul O'Dwyer and virtually all of the major Irish leaders in the country were there for the announcement. And bottom line of it was we were hoping to get it passed, and in fact we did, and I think we have to acknowledge that it was very supported by and ultimately signed into law by Governor Mario Cuomo. And it was the first in the United States that enacted the MacBride principles, and it was a historic effort and one that I think, as you said, during that period of time encapsulated the spirit of things Irish in New York State, and there were quite a few, and an incredible cadre of people. And, of course, Adrian, the other thing, if I might say, that I reflect upon our years together, and that is that with those 50 or five decade-plus years, the ability to communicate, to inform, to educate our Irish population on virtually every kind of political and civic and athletic program that affected us, and your ability to give everyone an opportunity on all sides of any issue to be able to express themselves, I think is ultimately your greatest accomplishment. Not only the durability of as many years as you've been doing this work, but the benefit that it has been to the Irish community in listening and hearing and learning. So, but anyway, the McBride Principles was a great success when enacted into law.
You know, and friends, this is John Deary, you know, the very successful law firm, the law offices of John C. Deary. But John, when in fact you, when you left the New York State legislature, as a New York State legislator, you came up with something else, which another idea that we have to say became another thumbprint of John Deary in founding, and it was yours to found the Irish Presidential Forum, again an idea that raised quite a few eyebrows when you were advocating and getting the attention of, you know, all the leaders in the Irish community to say, you know, or to make the statement that actually we wait until there is a new president and then we get on the line for, you know, for our requests and the attention which we deserve. Why not, you know, confront candidates for the U.S. presidency and have them, you know, tell us before the election? You know, they're looking for our vote. And we don't know, you know, they're all, you know, backslapping and, of course, as candidates do. But we better find out and get the message through to these presidential candidates that we have demands and we'd like to be addressed now. Bring us to that time.
Well, you know, Adrian, it's interesting you say that because, and I don't mean this in a negative way towards presidential candidates, because the range of issues that they ultimately have to have some familiarity with is extremely wide. But one of the things that I had sent was that most presidential candidates, as one reflected on things of an Irish nature, involved on today, on March 17th, wearing a green tie and maybe hosting a green bottle of beer or something like that. But I don't say this facetiously. They didn't know, on average, most of them, any of the issues that are of concern to the Irish community, which is really what prompted us to develop an Irish-American agenda, of which the appointment of an American special envoy was the most significant of the items. And we started in 1984 with then Vice President Mondale, and the culmination of our success in that work took place in the 1992 election, when this fellow from Arkansas named Clinton attended the presidential forum and committed himself to appointing an American special envoy. And the interesting thing is, of course, he was elected, and he ultimately appointed former United States Senator George McGovern. And he was really the instrumental person in putting together the Good Friday Agreement. And the thing that's interesting about it, that was in 1998, and we are now this year going to celebrate in another week or two the 25th anniversary. And it's quite an exciting event that's going to come up, because the two maybe most important people that made that happen in the negotiations was President Clinton, who took a direct hand in the negotiations, and also Gerry Adams. And both are going to be at an event in New York City. I believe it's on April 3rd, and the celebration of 25 years. And the whole notion that America should be involved in the search for peace in Northern Ireland. And that's what had happened.
And John, you could add to that, not only President Clinton, but, again, herself a candidate for the presidency, Hillary Clinton, secretary who became Secretary of State, that they and George Mitchell, the special envoy to Northern Ireland, that they are going to be in Northern Ireland for a dinner which is being hosted by none other than King Charles. Now, with all of, so the American interest involvement, continuing involvement, absolutely has a lot to do with us. And again, it was a great idea. But on your management, here is saying, could you talk about all the you're as co-host, particularly on St. Patrick's Day, and I would preface this by saying, friends, that most of us in radio, particularly back in those days, we would be squished into an area, where you could, if you made a turn, you could elbow your guest. My friend and John Deary built on Madison Avenue in New York a state-of-the-art, absolutely luxurious, fabulous law office and indeed a studio, a radio studio and a television studio, because John had made quite a number of videos himself, actually television shows, promoting the Deary Law. But John, the number and the variety of guests, particularly on St. Patrick's Day through the years, and the hours and hours, sometimes as much as 10 hours in a day, could not have happened without you as a co-host. But we had a lot of fun, in addition to addressing and having politicians address very serious topics.
You know, Adrian, as I reflect back on those many, many St. Patrick's days that we had, multiple hours, and the people outside enjoying drinks and enjoying watching the show that you were producing in the studio, and the incredible amount of first-class entertainment, singers, individuals, groups. And it's funny, when you mention Onya, I can recall one of the very first times before we were working together, one of the first times that I was there, and I was very anxious on that St. Patrick's Day to get on for 2 minutes on your radio show on St. Patrick's. And I probably did what most people did, have to hang around for about 2 or 3 hours waiting to have Onya give a quick nod. Yeah, okay, go ahead, you can go in. And
God knows,
the one that,
John, and it, God knows it's not that
you... I was, Adrian, I was going to say, it's awfully nice to know that some things don't change. But Onya was fantastic in coordinating people in and out, and the entertainment, as you say, the interviews with Governor Pataki at the time.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, of course, Mayor Bloomberg and Mayor Koch and so many others. They were remarkable days, which leads me to ask, Adrian, have you done your unicorn song yet?
No, I'm saving that. I definitely save that song until you have, you know, rendered your version, unique version of Galway Bay, because
Adrian, seriously.
And this is this no, no I no come on now.
I
am trying to be courteous to you.
Years.
I don't want to draw any, you know, undue attention, you know, to it. And so in that sense, you know, my own song is, you know, I don't know how to put this. I mean, I don't want you dragging me down with you. So I kind of, you know, listen, John,
well,
you know
Adrian,
what I have.
Adrian, it really surprised me very much, Adrian, and I know of no other word, when I would sing Galway Bay, the jealousy that seemed to overcome you was just unbelievable, really.
Yeah, well.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I have brought in, from County Mayo, Noel Henry's Irish Show Band, to sing Galway Bay, featuring the one and only John Deary. I think, you know, as I listen to it here, maybe, I'm going to lash this forward. Hold on. Now. Here's your big crescendo, John. And if there's going, let's hear
going
it.
Going to be a light hereafter, and somehow I'm sure there's going to be.
You have to wait for the band, John. Yeah.
I will ask. To let my me God, make my heaven. Make my heaven. But I just a quick question, am I doing better singing than I did in our earlier years? I don't like that hesitation.
John, can we put that out to, you know, perhaps Anya's suggesting a survey. You know, and this is going to be a silent survey. So if you hear back from us before the end of the day, John Deary, you will know that you have actually improved with the years. But
but basically, I shouldn't be hanging around the corner waiting for your call. Is that the deal?
Anything, John. As we've said many times to each other, anything is possible, you know.
That is true.
God bless. John, again, thank you a million times over, for there were many times indeed in our lives when you carried the program and were always there to make sure that we were able to continue what we're doing. Thank you, my good friend, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you. Thank you with my deepest love to you and Onya.
Thank you, indeed. You know, through most of the last century, there were a great number of Irish-American singers, and many of them became movie stars. We had people like Bing Crosby and... you know, so many others, including this guy we're about to hear now. His name was Dennis Day, and he was doing all right as a singer. And then when television became popular, there were a lot of times when television, was slow to take on here in the United States. probably did better in major cities like New York and Boston, Chicago, and obviously over on the West Coast. But Irish television was, you know, the Irish and television was, you know, there was a breakthrough there. And I suppose, in fairness, you know, the Irish entertainers at that time felt that, you know, the image of, you know, being merry and happy and, you know, imitating or interpreting the Irish accent, the Irish brogue, that was going to hurl them to fame and, well, don't know whether it did or not. Here's Dennis Day, who was originally billed as an original Irish tenor, and then, of course, the next 500 came up and they were the original Irish tenors as well. But here is a song, the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the original Irish tenor, the legendary Dennis Day. Okay.
I'll be marching along in the big parade on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be up to me neck in shamrocks as I march along the way. I swing that old shillelagh as I wave to each colleen, and tilt me ear the better to hear the wearing of the green. The Kellys from Killarney, the Murphys from Kildare, the Hallahans and Callahans who came from County Clare.
There'll be folks from dear old Dublin all the way to County Cork. They'll be marching in the big parade right here in old New York.
Sure, and March the 17th is the day I'll set aside, a day when every Irish heart is busting out with pride. I'll have me old shillelagh and that old silk hat of mine, a shamrock in me buttonhole, and then come rain or shine, oh, the mayor will be in the big parade, strutting high and grand. And behind him will march 1,000 cops who came from Ireland. Those beautiful songs of Erin, oh, the band will play them all. We'll march along, we'll sing in a song, the harp of Tara's Hall.
The sons and daughters of Erin, 100,000 strong, will be singing the songs of Ireland as they march along. Their eyes will shine with laughter, their hearts will all be gay, when the Irish all turn up to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Band sounds grand. It's grander than McNamara's band ever was.
There'll be Cooney, Mulrooney, and Mickey O'Dowd putting up capers and praising the crowd. Hogan and Grogan will kick up their heels, singing and dancing the jigs and the reels. O'Connells and Donalds and Larry O'Toole, Maloney, Mahoney, and Patrick O'Doole. Dibble a man as happy as they when they celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
I'll be marching along in the big parade, a twinkle in me eye. I'll be proud as 1,000 Pecos with me head up in the sky. I'll be there, you can bet you. I'll be marching all the way when the Irish all turn out to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day Parade.
St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Oh, yeah. They charge.